hour or the time may be contacted at HOTT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue with the revelations that I've been bringing you this week. Make sure that you are tape recording this broadcast, excuse me, or that you have a thick pad of paper, a pen, or two pens, so that you don't run out of ink, and take extensive notes. If you're unable to keep up, or if you are unable to tape record this broadcast, you may order studio quality stereo tapes of the Hour of the Time from the Harvest Trust. Make your check or money order payable to the Harvest Trust, and you may just state the date and the subject of the tape, and send it to the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Now, I remember what the one-hour tapes were when we were doing one-hour broadcasts, but since I don't really handle that, I don't know what the price of the two-hour tapes are, and I'll try to find that out sometime during this broadcast and let you know. But anyway, that's the basic information. If you'd just like to order a tape list so that you can make a choice, send $1 in a self-addressed stamped number 10 size envelope to the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, Arizona, 85925. That's the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, Arizona, 85925. I have that information for you now. Please write this down. Tapes of the two-hour broadcast of the Hour of the Time are $15 for non-members and $12 for CAGI or Intelligence Service members. These are studio-quality stereo tapes, 2 hours each episode of the Hour of the Time, $15 for non-members, $12 for members of CAGI or the Intelligence Service. Make your check or money order payable to the Harvest Trust and send it to the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. If you'd just like to have a packet of information, send $1 in a self-addressed stamped number 10 size envelope to the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, Arizona, 85925.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor reserve. The cashes make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for two pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. They charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold.
You get the crap. They want it all.
Many people write, ladies and gentlemen, and ask, what did Hitler have to do with the New World Order if it's going to be socialist? Well, you see, you have been scammed for many years to believe that Hitler's right wing. The scale measures two extremes. On the left is total and complete control of everything and everyone owned by the state. And on the exact opposite end of the scale is the total absence of any control by anyone or anything. And that's called anarchy. In the middle somewhere, you have what is known as a constitutional republic. Hitler was a socialist, and that's what they don't want you to know, and that's why they've been brainwashing you for all these years to think that Nazis are right-wing. The truth is, people on the right-wing want less government, less control, and the farther you go, the less they want, until you reach total anarchy, which is just as bad as the opposite extreme, which is total and complete ownership and control of everything and everybody in the world, under communism. Socialism is just a little above communism and always slides down into communism ultimately, because that's the nature of the beast. Hitler was a socialist. Nazi literally means German National Socialist Workers' Party. I hope that you all learn to start thinking with your brains instead of your glutamus maximus, which is what most people have been thinking with for most of their lives. Hitler was never right-wing, couldn't possibly be right-wing in a million billion years. He was a socialist. He socialized everything in Germany. He made the German people dependent upon the government and upon him, Der Führer, the father. They say that anyone who believes in their country or is patriotic is a Nazi, because Hitler was a national socialist. Well, folks, Hitler began as a national socialist, which simply means socializing your country. But if you notice, Hitler wanted to rule the world, and he began conquering other countries just as fast as he could. He talked about the New World Order and the New Order. Hitler had behind him the same people who are bringing about the New World Order of today. If you look around and see how things are transacting, you'll see that these people are no different than Hitler and his lackeys and his SS stormtroopers. You see, if it had been Hitler at Waco, Texas, or Ruby Ridge, the outcome would have been exactly the same. Only because of his total control and his disarmament of the German citizens, it would have happened much sooner. They could not have pulled that off here, even though they ultimately did exactly what Americans have despised in this country and have traditionally believed could only happen in places like the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany or Castro's Cuba, are in third world countries where heads can roll at the flick of a finger. But it happened here, and I actually heard so-called Christians. They're no more Christians, ladies and gentlemen, than the cow in the pasture across the road over here. These so-called Christians said, oh, they were just a bunch of crazy fundamentalists, and they deserved exactly what they got. Can you imagine that? From a country whose founders came over here to escape from religious prosecution and found a nation which allowed people to practice whatever religion they wished. You see how far we've gone already? a lot farther than most people care to think or believe. I can assure you, we are almost finished as a free people. This is from document number 55, October 24th, 1950, United Nations. It is an address by President Truman to the General Assembly of the United Nations. Extract, October 24th, 1950, on cooperative disarmament. And I'm going to excerpt paragraphs out of his speech, and I quote, this is directly out of the mouth of President Harry Truman. I quote, disarmament is the course which the United States would prefer to take. It is the course which most nations would like to adopt. It is the course which the United Nations, from its earliest beginnings, has been seeking to follow. First, the plan must include all kinds of weapons. Outlawing any particular kind of weapon is not enough. The conflict in Korea bears tragic witness to the fact that aggression, whatever the weapons used, brings frightful destruction. Second, the plan must be based on unanimous agreement. A majority of nations is not enough. No plan of disarmament can work unless it includes every nation having substantial armed forces. One-sided disarmament is a sure invitation to aggression. Third, the plan must be foolproof. If real disarmament were achieved, the nations of the world acting through the United Nations could join in a greatly enlarged program of mutual aid. As the cost of maintaining armaments decreased, every nation could greatly increase its contributions to advancing human welfare. All of us could then pool even greater resources to support the United Nations in its war against want. End quote. Harry Truman, ladies and gentlemen, was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite. In September of 1950, this article appeared in The New Age. The New Age is the magazine of the House of the Temple of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And I remind you again, Harry Truman was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. Harry Truman created the United Nations. Harry Truman put us on the track to world government. Harry Truman knew what he was doing. Harry Truman did it on purpose. Listen to this, and listen to the deception that's being foisted upon the world, especially what are known as minorities. Quote, God's plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan, dedicated to the new order of things, is to make all things new. A new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new religion, a non-sectarian religion that has already been recognized and called the religion of the great light, end quote. This is right out, I'm quoting directly from the magazine, which was then called The New Age. It is the magazine of the House of the Temple of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and what they propose is simply treason. At the highest level of all these fraternal organizations lies the body of the secret organization known as the Illuminati. The Illuminati created communism. They created international socialism. They are working for one world government. Here it is in their own words. Let me read it to you again. Quote, God's plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan, dedicated to the new order of things, is to make all things new. A new nation. They're not talking about the United States, folks. They're not talking about going out and finding some land and making a new country. They're talking about a new nation, the world united under one world government. Let me make sure you understand this. Quote, God's plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan, dedicated to the new order of things, is to make all things new, a new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new religion, a non-sectarian religion that has already been recognized and called the religion of the great light, end quote. What is this religion of the great light? See, I don't even like to say it. My tongue doesn't like it. What is this religion of the great light? Well, I've spent countless hours over the last 4.5 years teaching you exactly what it is. It is the Luciferian philosophy, ladies and gentlemen. It's exactly what they believe, is that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, vindictive God. And man was set free by Lucifer through his agent Satan when he seduced Eve into eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and told Eve that God lied to you. God lied to you, Eve, and you must entice Adam to also eat of this fruit. For God doesn't want you to realize exactly who you are. You see, he says if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye will surely die. And I tell you, you will not die, but you will become as gods. That's Satan talking. And anyone in any church or in any religion who believes that believes in Satan's church and their God is Lucifer. Lucifer is the angel of light that was cast out of heaven because he wanted to sit on the throne above God. Remember that? These people who believe this, these Illuminists, believe that through the gift of intellect, which they received from Lucifer, they themselves will become gods or as gods. When they talk about God's plan, they're not talking about the God of the Bible, I can assure you. They're talking about their God, Lucifer. Albert Pike made that clear in the Masonic tome entitled Morals and Dogma, that for most of the years of the last century was given out to each new member of each lodge after their first initiation as entered apprentice. It's funny, so many people have read that book and don't even understand what it says when it is clear in plain English. But let me continue from this article from The New Age, the magazine of the House of the Temple of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Quote, looking back into history, we can easily see that the guiding hand of Providence has chosen the Nordic people to bring in and unfold the new world. Excuse me, let me back up. Let me read it again to make sure that I'm quoting absolutely correctly. Quote, looking back into history, we can easily see that the guiding hand of Providence has chosen the Nordic people to bring in and unfold the new order of the world. Records clearly show that 95% of the colonists were Nordics, Anglo-Saxons. Providence has chosen the Nordics because the Nordics have prepared themselves and have chosen God. The Nordics are God's chosen people, always looking for more light on the mission of life. Just as Providence has chosen the Jewish race, the children of Israel, to bring into the world righteousness by carrying the Ten Commandments, which emphasize, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, so also Providence has chosen the Nordic race to unfold the new age of the world, a novus ordo seclorum. One of the first of the Nordics to reach the new world was the Viking Leif Erikson. He sailed from Norway to bring to his people in Ireland a new message. The message of the Christian people is Ireland's new message, the message of the Christian God. But Providence moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And so Leif the Lucky was sent by Providence to the new world. From the abundance of grapes found there, Leif Erikson called the place Vinland. It is easy to sense that Leif Erikson was sent by the guiding hand of Providence to bring the Norse spirit of the All-Father to the shores of the New World. The Nordics are the highest branch of the fifth Aryan civilization. The Latins are of the fourth Aryan civilization. And the American race will be the sixth Aryan civilization. This new and great civilization is like an American beauty rosebud, ready to open and send its wonderful fragrance to all the world. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Thomas Paine, and many others of the founders of the new nation in the new world were Nordics. Thomas Paine, as spark plug of the American Revolution, loved God but hated sectarianism. In These Are the Times, he wrote, quote, we have it in our power to begin the world all over again. A situation similar to the present hath not happened since the days of Noah till now. The birthday of a new world is at hand. End quote. As stated before, God's plan in America is a non-sectarian plan. Our Constitution is non-sectarian. Our great American public schools, God's chosen schools, are non-sectarian. The great spirit behind this great nation is non-sectarian. Our great American public schools have never taken away from any child the freedom of will, freedom of spirit, or freedom of mind. That is the divine reason that great God, our King, has chosen the great American public schools to pave the way for the new race, the new religion, and the new civilization that is taking place in America. Any mother, father, or guardian who is responsible for the taking away of freedom of mind, freedom of will, our freedom of spirit is the lowest criminal on earth, because they take away from that child the God-given right to become a part of God's great plan in America for the dawn of the new age of the world. End quote. Now, if you were paying attention, folks, you would have recognized that most of this is a lie. Most of it is not true, either historically or religiously. And if they are Christians, as they claim to be when challenged about their religion, why do they have to have a new religion? And according to their own words here, they are not talking about the God of the Bible or the Christian religion or Jesus Christ or any other religion that may be found upon this earth. For they are talking about a non-sectarian humanist religion. The God that they are talking about is Lucifer. When they refer to Lucifer, ladies and gentlemen, they're referring to the story that I told you about the Garden of Eden as a metaphor. You see, they don't really believe in any God or any Lucifer at all. These are all symbolic, and Lucifer is symbolic of the intellect of man. Jehovah, or the God of the Bible, and Jesus Christ are synonymous to these people with the darkness of the medieval times, when anyone who challenged the church was burned at the stake. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, they don't believe in God or religion at all, of any kind, and they certainly don't believe in the freedom of religion or freedom of anything. For as they state in the article here, exactly as I quoted it to you, they're going to force a new nation upon you. They're not going to tell you the truth about what they're doing. They're going to lie to you and manipulate you into it until it's too late, until you reach the point where you couldn't back out if you wanted to. And that point will be reached after they take the weapons from the hands of the American people. See, here's what they're going to do. They're going to force you to accept a new nation. The new nation is one world government. They're going to force you to create a new race. A new race. Now, just exactly how they're going to do that, I don't know. But they're not talking about the current situation where there's blacks and whites and Hispanics and Native Americans and Orientals and all of the other races and subsets of the races that I have mentioned. A new civilization. They're not talking about American tradition. They're not talking about a constitution with a Bill of Rights. They're not talking about any of these things. And a new religion, a non-sectarian religion that has already been recognized and called the religion of the Great Light, and I've exposed that to you over many years as being secular humanism. You had better wake up and smell the roses, ladies and gentlemen. You see, you've been looking around to find out, what's wrong with this country? How can these things be happening? Who is the enemy? And for a long time, you thought it was the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was created by these people. The whole gist of the Soviet Union communism pitted against the capitalism of the West is to result in a clash that produces a synthesis, which is socialism, which will then slide back into communism. Don't you understand how these things work? That's exactly where we're going. That's exactly what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. And that's exactly what they said in their article. no conspiracy, no plan for a new world order. I just read it to you in their own words. No movement toward a one world religion, one world government. I just read it to you in their own words. It was printed, wasn't hidden from anybody, in the September 1950 issue of the magazine called The New Age, the mouthpiece. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will, the mouthpiece of the House of the Temple of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Look it up yourself. In the United States Code annotated, Constitution of the United States annotated, Amendments 1 to 3, annotations from federal and state courts. Purpose in interpreting and implying this amendment. Purpose of amendment to assure continuation and render possible the effectiveness of the militia must be considered. U.S. versus Miller, Arkansas, 1939, 59. Purpose of this amendment, guaranteeing the right of the people to keep and bear arms, was to preserve the effectiveness and assure the continuation of the state militia. U.S. versus Oaks, C.A., Kansas, 1977, 564, F. 2nd, 384, CERT. Excuse me, 98, State Court, 1493, 435, U.S. Supreme Court, 926, 55, L. Ed. 2nd, 521. Look it up for yourself. Quote, the amendment was designed to foster a well-regulated militia as necessary to the security of a free state. Aces versus U.S. CCA, Puerto Rico, 1942, 131, F. 2nd, 916, CERT. 63, State Court, 1431, 319, U.S. Supreme Court, 770, 87, L. Ed. 1718, rehearing denied, 65, State Court, 1010, 324, United States Supreme Court, 889, 89, L. Ed. 1437. The hour of the time is the only place that you get the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's the only place that you ever learn what's really happening, who's bringing it about, what you should do, and we even tell you where we got it. And we name names, unabashedly. For the last 4.5 years, I've been naming names, exposing these people, and there's nothing that they can do about it except stew and steam and wonder how they're going to shut me up. Next time you see a gun control nut, flash this stuff in their face. All of this can be downloaded from the text files on my webpage on the internet, ladies and gentlemen. All of it. Let me give you the address of my webpage on the internet. All of this is there, and more. And it's rolled over and changed on a constant basis. Transcripts of the hour of the time. Here's the address. http://... www.telepath.com/believer. That's http://... www.telepath.com/believer. Go to the section on transcripts and download all you want. http://... www.telepath.com/believer. It's all there and more. And there's links to other pages where you can continue and broaden your research ability and thus your knowledge. I couldn't believe that supposedly intelligent militia leaders went to the Donahue show without the quotes and the backing in the law that they needed to beat that socialist communist puke at his own game. The man who flashed the second article, an amendment to the world, and left out the phrase, quote, the right of the people, end quote, on the television screen intentionally. Donahue is a communist, has been all his life. He's also a puke-faced liar. And those militia leaders, those so-called militia leaders, went there without any knowledge or substance or documentation of the legitimacy of the militia and the law. And while they didn't do too bad, they didn't do the job that they should have and could have done. You see, they could have cooked Donahue in his own juice. It would have been very easy. A person's right to bear arms, as guaranteed by the second article in amendment, does not extend to pistols or other readily concealable weapons. Rather, that guarantee protects only the right to be armed with weapons suitable for use by militia in warfare and by the general defense of the community. That is what the courts are now ruling in an attempt to get the arms from the hands of the American people. Now they are trying to convince you that the militia consists only of the National Guard, and if you're not in the National Guard, you're not a part of the militia. The law says otherwise. The law says any person, any man in most instances, in some states, says person. Any man between the ages of 17 and 45 is a member of the militia, whether they know it, whether they want to be, whether anybody told them or not. And they have the right to keep and bear arms always. A further statute in the United States Code extends that age limit to age 65 for all honorably discharged veterans or retirees from any branch of the military service of the United States of America or of any state. The courts are ruling now, based upon the fact that they are now telling you that the National Guard is the militia, going against the law, going against all of the history and traditions and past rulings of the courts and the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And the courts are now ruling unlawfully that only the militia, which is the National Guard, may keep and bear arms. I'm telling you now that the militia is as it has always been and is, according to the law, all citizens of the United States of America, specifically stated in the law to be between the ages of 17 and 45, are extended to the age 65 in the case of honorably discharged or retired members of any branch of military service in this country. Here's what the courts say. Guida versus Deere, 1975, 375 New York, S. 2nd, 826, 84, Miss, spelled M-I-S-C, period, 2nd, 110, modified on other grounds, 387, New York, S. 2nd, 720, 54, A.D. 2nd, 86, quote, the word arms, in the connection we find it in the Constitution of the United States, refers to the arms of a militiaman, or soldier, and the word is used in its military sense. The arms of the infantry soldier are the musket and bayonet of cavalry and dragoons, the saber, holster, pistols, and carbine of the artillery, the field piece, siege gun, and mortar with sidearms, end quote. English versus State, 1872, 35, Texas, 476, quote, this amendment guarantees a collective rather than an individual right, end quote. U.S. versus Warren, C.A., Ohio, 1976, 530, F. 2nd, 103, cert denied, 96, State Court, 3168, 426, United States Supreme Court, 948, 49, L.Ed. 2nd, 1185, quote, constitutional right to keep and bear arms applies only to the right of the state to maintain militia and not to individuals' right to bear arms, end quote. Stevens versus U.S., C.A., Kentucky, 1971, 440, F. 2nd, 144. See also Application of Cassidy, 1944, 51, New York, S. 2nd, 202, 268, Appellate Division, 282. Reargument denied, 63, New York, S. 2nd, 840, 270, Appellate Division, 1046. Affirmed, 73, N.E. 2nd, 541, 296, New York, 926. Com versus Davis, 1976, 343. N.E. 2nd, 847, 369, Massachusetts, 886. Photos versus City of Toledo, 1969, 250. N.E. 2nd, 916, 19. Ohio, miscellaneous, 147. Harris versus State, 1967, 432. Page, or P. 2nd. 92983 Nevada 404, quote, this amendment does not imply any general constitutional right for individuals to bear arms and form private armies. Vietnamese Fishermen's Association versus Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, D.C., Texas, 1982, 543F, Supplement 198. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand what I'm telling you. The courts are now telling you that you don't have a right to keep a weapon to hunt. You don't have a right to keep a weapon to protect your house. You only have a right guaranteed by the second article in amendment to keep a right for the protection of the state and of the Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms. You see, they say the right to keep and bear arms is for the militia. I've been telling you this over and over and over again. You must join a militia. You must form a militia, or they're going to use your absence of appearing on the rolls of a militia to take away your right to keep and bear arms. You must. The militia cannot be restricted on any arms, as you've already heard. The courts have ruled that if you're an artillery militia, you're entitled to have artillery. I just read it to you. Supreme Court decision, ladies and gentlemen. You may have a militia of artillery. You may have a militia of armor. You have may have a militia of cavalry. If you think horses are going to cut the mustard, and you can have an infantry militia. But you must have a militia, or your right to keep and bear arms is in dire jeopardy. The truth is the courts are ruling unconstitutionally and unlawfully on these subjects. For the second article in amendment is clear. And the active clause is, and I quote, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A militia being necessary to the security of a free state is a descriptive clause. And in the writings of the founding fathers, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, all of them, they made it very clear that the purpose of a militia was to provide a citizen's army to prevent tyranny by the government. The word arms, in the connection we find it in the Constitution of the United States, refers to the arms of a militiaman or soldier, and the word is used in its military sense as interpreted by the courts. The arms of the infantry soldier are the musket and bayonet, of cavalry and dragoons, the saber, holster, pistols, and carbine. Of the artillery, the field piece, siege gun, and mortar with sidearms. You must be a legal and lawful militia. If you are not, they're going to try to take your guns away based upon the fact that you're not. Quote, this amendment does not imply any general constitutional right for individuals to bear arms and form private armies, end quote. Now they're equating militias with private armies. The history of this country and the truth about militias is that they are never and have never been private armies and never functioned as such. And there are many, many, many more cases. Quote, self-defense is not substantive right conferred directly by this amendment, and thus no constitutional right of federal employee was violated by her discharge upon basis of assault incident in which employee claimed to have acted in self-defense, end quote. They're telling you now, the courts are ruling now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a ruling from 1982, that you don't have the right to defend yourself with a firearm if somebody comes to kill you. That was Fields versus Harris, CA, Missouri, 1982, 675F, 2nd, 219, certiorari denied, 103, S Court, 153, 459, U.S. Supreme Court, 869, 74, L. Ed. 2nd, 128. Quote, this amendment does not contemplate within its expressed limitation on powers of the national government granting defendant right to carry sword in his belt for the purposes stated, namely that he might need them and that he wanted to be prepared, end quote. In other words, that's saying that this man couldn't even carry a sword for self-defense. Masters versus State, Texas, App, 3rd District, 1983, 653, SW, 2nd, 1944, Aft, 685, SW, 2nd, 654, certiorari denied, 106, S Court, 155, 88, LN, 2nd, 128. Quote, applicability to state or federal government. Supreme Court has stated that the Second Amendment declares that it shall not be infringed, but this means no more than that it shall not be infringed by Congress. This is one of the amendments that has no other effect than to restrict the powers of the national government. Therefore, the right to keep and bear arms under this amendment is not a fundamental right which state cannot regulate. Culichi versus Village of Morton Grove, CA, Illinois, 1982, 695, F. 2nd, 261. Certiorari denied, 104, S. Court, 194, 464, U.S. Supreme Court, 863, 78, L. Ed. 2nd, 170. Are you beginning to get the message? I've been trying to teach you, and I look out and I get letters, and I see what you're doing, and you send me your militia material, and I see that you're nothing but a bunch of children playing games, and you'd better straighten it up real quick, real quick.
My mind a little, I come across the reason why you're gone. Maybe if I searched a little while, and if I tried to reconcile a little, then maybe I would know for how long.
Gentlemen, there's two books that you must obtain and read, Many years ago, a high-ranking member of the Soviet KGB defected to the United States of America. His name is Anatoly Golitsyn, spelled A-N-A-T-O-L-I-Y, and his last name is Golitsyn. G-O-L-I-T-S-Y-N. The first book he published was New Lies for Old. The title is New Lies for Old. Find it. Read it. Then he published another book called The Perestroika Deception. The Perestroika Deception by Anatoly Golitsyn. Get both of these books and read them. It was hard for the people in the intelligence community to believe that he was telling the truth when he first defected and outlined the coming fall of the Soviet Union, the bringing down of the Berlin Wall, the disarmament of the West, and the winning of the Cold War
by the Soviet Union through the deception of perestroika. He made, ladies and gentlemen, approximately 140 predictions. 130 of them have been 100% correct. He was right. And what I am telling you is right. And you had better wake up and begin to do something about it, or you're going to find that the Soviet Union did not fall. It just took over the whole world. Now, as you look over there, you think, this guy's full of it. This guy's full of crap. Until you really start doing some studying. All of these so-called democratic leaders of what used to be communist countries are communists. They're still in complete and full control. There is no democracy being established anywhere over there at all. There is no disarmament taking place. It is a deception on a grand scale. And if you keep listening to this broadcast, you will get all the documentation and references that you need to prove it to yourself. But you can never do that unless you take the information that I give you and look it up. Remember, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. That includes me. That includes Bill Clinton. That includes your mother. Includes the mayor of your city. It includes your congressman, and especially your congressman. Any politician is a liar from the word go. You all should know that by now. So, it doesn't do any good for me to give you all of this information if you are not going to act upon it. You see, you must act upon it. You must take this information and look it up for yourself. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time, and you're never going to learn what the truth is or is not. And that's the truth. Quote, guarantee of right to keep and bear arms under this amendment protects not an individual right, but a collective right in the people as a group to serve as militia, and imposes no limitation on the state's legislature's power to prohibit individuals from carrying deadly weapons where the prohibition will not interfere with the preservation of efficiency of the militia. End quote. Application of Atkinson, Minnesota, 1980-291, N.W. 2nd, 396. Quote, right to bear arms under state constitution or state decisional law is not an absolute right. Right may be circumscribed by conditions under which it is sought to be asserted. End quote. U.S. versus Romero, C.A., New Mexico, 1973, 484, F. 2nd, 1324. See also State versus Rupp, Iowa, 1979, 282, N.W. 2nd, 125, State v. Dawson, 1968, 159, S.E. 2nd, 1, 272, North Carolina, 535, Bristow v. State, Alabama, C.R., Appealed, 1982, 418, S.O., 2nd, 927. Quote, this amendment places no limitation on power of state legislators to enact gun control legislation, end quote. People v. Morrell, 1984, 475, NYS 2nd 684, or excuse me, 648 101 AD 2nd 927. Quote, there is no absolute constitutional right of an individual to possess a firearm. End quote. Thompson versus Duretta, D.C., Utah, 1982, 549 F. Supp 297. Appeal dismissed, 709 F. 2nd 1343. See also State versus Winkleman, 1981, 442, N.E., 2nd, 811, 2nd, Ohio, Appeal, 3rd, 465, 2, OBR, 561. Quote, municipal ordinance requiring that persons seeking to possess handgun first obtain identification card in order to demonstrate their entitlement to possess such weapon did not violate this amendment, since it did not infringe upon maintenance of well-regulated militia right, which this amendment seeks to protect. Purpose furthered by ordinance of safeguarding public as much as possible from dangers of illegal weapons is proper subject for reasonable regulation under police power. End quote. Mosier v. City of Dayton, 1976, 358, N.E. 2nd, 540, 20.03rd, 412, 48, Ohio State 2nd, 243. I bet you're paying attention to me now, aren't you? You see, He always thought that this was inviolable. Well, it is inviolable under the intent of the founding fathers and all of their writings and the history and tradition of this country. But it's only inviolable if there is a standing militia to say, this is unconstitutional what you are doing, and you cannot take our guns away from us. You see, if these treasonous judges, these socialists sitting on the bench of state and federal courts, these Freemasons whose goal is one world totalitarian socialist government, make these unconstitutional rulings and you let them get by with it, then you've lost your right. The first tenet in the common law is he who does not defend his right has no rights. Quote, city ordinance prohibiting registration of any handgun after April 10, 1982, unless it was validly registered to current owner and city before April 10th, does not infringe on constitutionally protected right, end quote. Scholar versus Byrne, D.C., Illinois, 1983, 556 F. Supp. 736, affirmed, 727 F. Second, 633. Quote, even where this amendment is applicable, it does not constitute an absolute barrier to congressional regulation of firearms, end quote. And that's true in any area that's owned and controlled by the federal government, the federal zone. But in the states, it is not true. And that's what you don't know. Quote, regulation of dealers and firearms under Omnibus Crime Control and Safe Streets Act, 18 U.S.C.A., Section 921, et sec., does not infringe on rights under this amendment of people to keep and bear arms, absent a showing that licensing in any way destroys or impairs efficiency of a well-regulated militia, end quote. Well, you see, that's not true, ladies and gentlemen, because if you're a member of a militia, you must be able to keep and bear arms. That's what the amendment says, doesn't it? So if you're between the ages of 17 and 45, by law, you are a member of the militia. And so none of these laws apply to those people. And if you are honorably discharged or retired from the military services of your country, that age limit is extended until the age of 65. How about that? Are you waking up? Do I have your attention now? I better. Because if I don't have your attention by now, you're doomed. You might as well go get the chains and put them on your own ankles. Save somebody the trouble.
Light that you shine can be. I can make you feel a kiss, my
Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kHz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOT. That's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.